Thank you for reading, Suzanne. Why don't we pray before we do anything else? So as always, let's sit up straight. Boys and girls, that's you too. Hands together so that you don't fidget. Eyes closed so you don't get distracted. And we'll talk to God together. Father God, thank you that we get to look at your word together now. Help us to be amazed by Jesus and what he's done for us. Amen. Now, boys and girls, I am feeling tired. My in-laws are coming to stay. They arrived yesterday, and you'd have thought the royal family were coming. I have been put through a regime of tidying and cleaning by my wife. I've hoovered and mowed. She made me get the feather duster out. I've been going around and doing all the corners, getting all those cobwebs that you never end up doing. The lawn is mowed, the toilets are cleaned, we've got coal for the barbecue even though it's raining. We even gave our grubby little dog a bath in anticipation for my in-laws coming. The house is looking spick and span, it's amazing. Having someone come and stay with you, someone special, is nice. We made the house nice because someone special is coming. Did you know that in the Old Testament, there was a special building in the middle of the city called the Temple? And the Temple was where God would dwell in the midst of his people. It was special because someone special was meant to be there. It wasn't the bricks that made it special. It was God that made it special. And the sad thing was, in the Old Testament, God's people did not always treat God as special. They forgot about him. They disobeyed him. They ignored him. They offended him. And so the temple got destroyed. And years later, it was rebuilt. But the question is, did God's people learn their lesson? They had one temple destroyed, it got rebuilt. Have they learned their lesson? Would they treat God as special? Would they treat the temple as special? Well, before we answer that, I'm going to ask Sarah and Harry, since it's his last Sunday, to come up. I've got a little challenge for them. Just down here on this kind of square here, what I'd love you to do is, using those giant Jenga blocks, to make me a temple. I want you to think like big and grand and ornate and stable. And I've give you about 5 minutes or so to build me a temple. You've got to work together. Yeah. It's not a competition. This is like friendly. We're building a temple. Good. There we go. Now, we'll let them get on with that for 5 minutes or so. We'll fast forward to today's story when Jesus was walking around on the earth and he goes to Jerusalem to visit the temple. And let me read to you what he found. Maybe I should have just asked Sarah. Verse 14. In the temple, he found men selling cattle and sheep and doves. He saw others sitting at tables exchanging money. The special temple, into a Tesco. The temple had become a Tesco's. People were selling stuff. It was just a giant shop. Now, I don't know about you, and this isn't a slight against Tesco's as a company, but that doesn't sound very respectful to God, does it? It doesn't seem like they're treating the temple as a special place. It seems like they care more about making money than they do about worshipping God. And so what does Jesus do? Let me read to you some more verses. Jesus made a whip out of cords Then he found all these men with the sheep and cattle to leave. He forced all these men with the sheep and cattle to leave the temple. He turned over tables. He scattered the money of the men who were exchanging it. He said to those who were selling pigeons, "Get out of here. Don't make my father's house a place for buying and selling." When this happened, the followers remembered what was written in the scriptures: "My love for your temple completely controls me." You see, Jesus loves his father. And so when he sees his father's house being disrespected, he makes a whip. This is my whip. I got hold of a whip for a talk. Amazing. Now I own a whip. Now no one wants to be told that they are dishonoring God. No one wants to be chased out of a building with a whip. That's horrible. Nobody wants that. And so the Jews question Jesus. They say, "Show us a miracle for a sign. Prove that you have the right to chase people out of the temple with a whip." Well, Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and I will build it again in 3 days." The Jews answered, "Men worked for 43 years to build this temple. Do you really think you can build it again in 3 days?" Do you see the crazy thing that Jesus said? Destroy the temple, which took 46 years to build, and I'll build it again in 3 days. It's a bit like this. Boys and girls, if you can't see Harry and Sarah's temple, do either stand on your chairs or stand in the aisles. We're not precious here. Stand on the chairs. It doesn't matter. It's a bit like this. This is Harry and Sarah's temple. It's taken them, 4, maybe 5 minutes to build? Good. Now, Harry, Sarah, you have 10 seconds to rebuild it. Go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5... 4, 3, 2, 1. It's a terrible job. Go and take a seat. Go and take a seat. It's impossible, isn't it? It's, of course, ridiculous. Harry and Sarah couldn't rebuild their temple in 10 seconds. There's no way Jesus would be able to rebuild a temple that took 46 years to build in 3 days. So what is Jesus trying to say? Well, if you've got your Bibles in front of you still, look down at verse 21. 21 tells us, "But the temple Jesus meant was his own body. After Jesus was raised from death, his followers remembered that Jesus had said this. Then they believed the scripture and the words Jesus had said." Jesus's body is the temple. But what does that mean? That doesn't clear it up much. Jesus' body is the temple. We'll go back to a passage we looked at last week from John chapter 1. It's on the screen for you. Let me read it out. "Before the world began, there was the Word." Now, the Word is just like a poetic way of talking about Jesus. "The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became a man and lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory that belongs to the only Son of the Father. The Word was full of grace and truth." You see, Jesus is a better temple. It's really easy to miss this, but when that verse on the screen says the Word became a man and lived among us, it means Jesus became a man and dwelt among us. He was like a temple among us. See, God dwelt among his people in the temple in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, God dwelt among his people in the person of Jesus. In the Old Testament, you had to go to the temple in order to offer sacrifices and worship God. But in the New Testament, God came in flesh, walking and talking around Israel. Now, even today, the way we have access to God isn't through special places or special rituals, but through a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the better temple. Jesus is how we have access to God. And amazingly, the better temple was destroyed for us. Do you remember at the beginning of this talk, I told you that the first temple in the Old Testament was destroyed because people ignored God and they disobeyed him. That's just another way of saying sin. The temple in the Old Testament was destroyed because of the people's sin. Sin resulted in the temple being destroyed. Well, the same thing happens in the New Testament. Jesus was the better temple, but he was destroyed. Not as a punishment for his sin, because Jesus never sinned, but as a punishment for our sin. Jesus, the Son of God, the Word became flesh, the better temple who came full of grace and truth and glory, went to the cross to be destroyed, to take the punishment we deserve for our sins. He was destroyed because he loves you. And 3 days later, just three, he rose from the dead. He is alive right now, and he still offers us access to God right now. It's amazing. And well, so what? So what? Well, boys and girls, grown-ups, there is no better news this summer than Jesus Christ, the better temple, destroyed and rebuilt for us. That your holiday destination may be about to move to the green list. The appointment may have come through for your second jab. I had mine on Friday. The chance to see friends that you've not seen for a while might be really exciting, and they are all good, wonderful things. This is the first time we've had my in-laws come and stay in 2 years. It's a wonderful thing. But none of those things compare to Jesus Christ's love for you and his death for you. No matter what other good news and good plans you have for the summer, remember the best news is Jesus Christ, his love for you, his death for you, and the access he gives you to his Father. Why don't we pray as we finish? Father God, thank you so much that Jesus is the better temple. Thank you that he was destroyed to take the punishment we deserve for our sins, and yet he rose again 3 days later. We give you great thanks this summer for our King, for our Savior, for Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to die for us. Help us this summer to be in awe, to be amazed by Jesus. Amen.